Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I've had a few starts and fits as to episodes. This happens sometimes when you just kind of grab a phone, which really, if you're a podcaster, I mean, granted, ideally, you throw it into Audacity and clean it up, which is not what I was doing when I finally started to get volume episodes. But so don't do that ideally unless it's what actually makes you go. Don't just grab your phone. But because I am doing it that way, sometimes I'll have the starts and fits of an episode that I probably wouldn't have if I sat there in front of Audacity and really, you know, said, okay, this is podcast episode time. So I've had a few where I've actually recorded them and went, eh. So I'm going to make this quicker. Recently, and I haven't listened to it so much as listened to somebody cover it. Catherine Austin Fitz, an OG, an original gangsta when it comes to truth and covering controversial topics, financial waste especially. Well, now Tucker Carlson is more bold than he's ever been. He's covered these topics that you and I know about. Austin Fitz has had like Solera.com forever, was on, if I had to guess, on Coast to Coast AM, the original national show for at least controversial topics. Unfortunately, people acted like they were fringe, even if they were very much, you know, boots on ground. Austin Fitz has been around for a long time, has been talking about very controversial topics for a long time, has former experience in, I believe, the H.W. Bush administration, and has connected, and more so connected because she's been somebody who, you know, has been on these controversial topics for a long time, and so has no doubt grown that network and, you know, forums on her website and the like. So recently, Tucker Carlson, now the ultimate truth teller, in that, of course, I'll talk to them. Do they seem like they're, you know, got their head on their shoulders? Do they seem like they're well researched? Do they seem like they have background and experience? I'll talk to them. You know, the governor's off from Fox News. So he talks to Catherine Austin Fitz and talks about things that is just, it's one of the ultimate case studies of what happens when you can create money. And my constant theme in this podcast, when you can create money and you can hide spending and you can hide even the idea of whether or not the people should know about the justification for spending specifically, or whether or not they should know about any specifics whatsoever. And what I'm talking about is DUMS, deep underground military bases. So what happens is you get the slightest of rationale, and I'm going to get to what she said and then connect it. But briefly, you know, I'm going to bring my analysis to it. Briefly, you get the slightest of rationale for something to be secretive and due to national security. And then you take the slightest of rationale and what you, instead of going, okay, well, that makes sense, we should build a new bomber. You then go, we should build a new bomber behind the scenes. Nobody knows about it. It's the most expensive thing. And if anybody even discusses the fact of its existence, then they're being treasonous. And we're not being treasonous by hiding the existence of, you know, billion-dollar programs. No, no, no. Anybody who talks about it is. So this is where we are with DUMS. You know, if you watch, like, if you follow, and I follow just, like, as a spectator, some of the QAnon stuff and these weird, you know, sources. One I follow on Telegram is Ezra Cohen. He never really says where any of his information comes from. He just drops bombs. There you go. The military underground base, the deep underground military base under Disney World, the tunnels, they're gone. And you go, okay, well, I can't confirm any of that, and you didn't state anything. But nonetheless, DUMS are definitely a thing, and it's a question of degree. And so we talk about how, you know, these things become just this awful rationale for, at first, over a period of civilization becoming more and more deceptive. You know, some government waste and some of it's, you know, makes sense. But then At some point, then, there's so much government waste and so much secrecy, it builds on itself. And even in open programs, there's the excuse, there's the incentive for massive profiteering. And then everybody behind closed doors just decides how many billions to spend. Billions, billions, people. Billions. And then it becomes more so. But I didn't know about this revelation. Austin Fitz says, okay, in the range of, you can go listen to her, but so I'm paraphrasing, I may not be exactly right. It was somewhere in the range of 1998 to 2015. I don't think any later than 2019. So we're talking about a 17 to 20 year span. There's something like, I believe she said, 21 trillion unaccounted for. In that range, 18 to 21 trillion unaccounted for. So supposedly she says she does some trillion people. She says, well, we can look into some of this and get some sense. And all, on my website is also some good proof of them admitting, not in detail where it is, of course, or it wouldn't be unaccounted for, but admitting to this many, 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 many trillions that are just gone. So now think about this. This isn't even the, okay, the CIA just comes up with their own budget by, you know, doing drug running and the like. No, this is stuff that's supposedly on the books and then no longer is on the books, right? So it comes from a known pool. I mean, I'm no accountant major, but I get this stuff a little bit. I'm not going to use accounting terms. But the point is, it is on the books. Because otherwise, she can't say that it's missing. She'd say that there's this mysterious spend that is not accounted for. She says missing. And so she says, well, you know, I've had Solera forever, Solera.com. And of course, it's an interest on the forums, an interest I talk about. And one of my most active forum members, which I need to become in one of those places. I'm too much of a tourist on forums. And I picked him and he and I studied. And some of the spending, some decent amount of the spending is going to, in just that time range. So forget the classic 1970s, 1960s, 50s, 80s, Cold War, you know, underground military bases. No, she's saying in the range of 98 to, like I said, 2015, 2018, 2019, spending on these underground military bases was massive. And that their best estimate with her and her best expert, but it's a total guess. I mean, you just go, it's probably in the range. It's something like 170. Now, I don't know if that means constructed from brand new or worked on. And she might even just be saying, I better be careful. I'm not saying that she means only 170 in that time period, rather 170 in that time period. She might mean that there was massive spending going towards that. And that their best bet on how many there are in total, whether either partial spend or constructed at that time, or, you know, spends in total that went towards that quantity of bases is 170. But she might also be saying, as far as we can tell, there's at least 170 deep underground military bases. Guys, so my connection for this is this. A, what I already told you. Once you go black, you don't go back. And I'm talking about spending, not the other thing. People, get your heads out of the gutter. But I am proud of myself. I just came up with that. So sometimes it's not that my wit or my humor is so great in total, but it's that I'm happy with my timing of it. So once your budget goes black, you never go back. And then it gets crazy. Once the secrecy happens, you don't go back. And then it gets exponential. Because guys, you know, it's bad that we were in the COVID overreaction range era. We were $3 to $4 to $5 trillion in debt a year, officially, on the federal level. And what's worse is that every year, I think just before COVID, and then certainly every year after, not even considering the COVID stuff, we are $2 trillion in debt every year on our budget. $2 trillion. And yet, with that massive scale, and it's basically at least 50 to 60% of the budget is debt money. And that's ridiculous. But the other aspect is that that puts a scale to $21 trillion in give or take 17 to 20 years. $2 trillion more, that's entirely black budget. Guys, 170 bases. And I'm going to tie this together by this. There's been some connections back in the 90s. Not to age myself, but I was at least aware, and you can guess whether I did research into it, and maybe I was 12. You guys have had enough indications of what my age probably is. In the 90s, there was something called base realignment and closure. The Cold War was ending. We said, do we really need all these bases? And it was a great point. And yet Ron Paul and folks, it was a big thing about which bases close. And then, you know, if you were the state that had two and you were going to lose one, of course, your legislators, you know, tried to keep it open. But the point was, we probably can bring some spending down and save. Back then, $50 billion was a lot in the budget. Now it's like pennies. But, you know, if we save $50 billion, that's a good deal. Let's save $50 billion. Or, you know, let's save $200 billion. In the 90s, for scale, Clinton said he was finally on budget. He wasn't when you spend, when you figure the IOUs that are Social Security. But in that range, they would say, hey, I'm actually in the black. I don't mean black budgets. I mean in the black as far as not being in debt. And he wasn't, but at least we were close. But the scale back then was, you know, you might be 50 to 200 billion in deficit every year. I keep saying debt earlier. I told you I'm not an accounting major. I know the difference. Every year it's deficit, and then the total is debt. But going into debt kind of means the same thing. But, you know, in the range of 50 to 200 billion in deficit per year. And so to think that in that same time range or soon after, we're talking about $2 trillion in 20 years, or rather $20 trillion, 17 to 18 to 21 trillion, whatever she said, in about 20 years equals about $2 trillion a year. $1.5 to $2 trillion. So think of that. And probably it wasn't evenly distributed. Probably it's gone exponential, and that's part of it. So it wasn't evenly distributed toward the front. But think about that amount of spending. Think about how we are trying to just save some money on base realignment and closures. And one more connection here is what we did around that time period was we engaged in conflicts that gave us as excuses to, while we're closing bases domestically and a few internationally, when we had conflicts, instead of building temporary bases, we built giant profiteering permanent bases overseas, farther away from oversight, farther away from Americans where they could see it and go, what the hell? Thought we were trying to save money here. Are we trying to end this war, or are we just trying to make money off of the war? Because these bases for, you know, I can't remember the early Iraq war, but probably that too, and then the later Iraq war, were giant. I mean, Afghan bases, I'm no expert on bases, but the overseas bases were permanent structures. Every bit is permanent as the type of bases that we would have as main bases on the continental U.S. And why I mention that is because of the extraordinary waste in spending and profiteering. These were very permanent structures. With, you know, if they weren't let's win a war, these are easy to take down after. Not at all. They were far from it. Some of these were just as, and now you can understand the rationale that they're going to use to make the excuse to make it basically a permanent base and spend all that money. Well, this is over in the territory where it could get hurt. What's air power is for? Are you not extending air power from a friendly nation? Are you kidding? And if you're forward, because the thing was, I believe, and I could be wrong, I've been wrong before, earlier today, that even as we went into Iraq to just occupy, those bases weren't, yeah, you don't want to come around here. We got tanks. We got air support. Don't do it. But otherwise, you know, kind of, you know, put together as temporary. No, those then got constructed as very permanent bases. And then also recall the profiteering. And I'm getting to this. It's really an extension. Our dumbs are an extension of this. We put it out of sight, out of mind, and then profiteer to the max, more so than we would out in the open. And remember that while we are spending money to destroy a country, the same contractors, at least related, and I believe most of them were associated, and even the same company, the same type of contractors, the same type of industry, the related industry that destroyed companies, then took on, countries and cities took on, hey, we'll reconstruct the whole city. And so we got both sides of it under the idea of, remember, the original auspices of war, you deserve it, and so you're going to get destroyed until you stop. And now the auspices are, well, you kind of deserve it, but on the other hand, we can profiteer to both destroy you, spend all the money on the weapons, and then we can profiteer to be the people who are compassionate to waste U.S. taxpayer money to rebuild much of your damned infrastructure. So again, out of sight, out of mind, ridiculous spend. And this is why I say, so that's bad enough. At least we're aware of where those bases were, but they were hard to inspect for the average person. They were hard to know about for the average person because they were so far away. Now, the extension is deep underground military bases. I get caught in there, I get strung up. Right? And I can't get to them. And they're underground and they've got barbed wire around them. And the most the barbed wire says is basically paraphrasing, you better stay the fuck away. And the revelations, not that you couldn't find this in many other places, but I'm sure Austin Fitz, her research is it really helps you compile in kind of one spot a little bit better. These are not you know, bunkers, like, just come in here, it's a giant cave, when we have to, we can, you know, hunker down in the bunker. We can hunker down. These are not that. These are not, it's safe, there's a big door. These are wildly comprehensive infrastructures and facilities. $21 trillion. And when you have this type of stuff, just to tie back, because what I do is go, how could this be? And then I go, root cause. Well, they couldn't afford it if we couldn't go in debt. Do you understand this? They couldn't afford it if we couldn't go in debt. So that's a root cause. They can afford it because we have the reserve currency. And they really can't afford it because it's still debt. But they can spend the money and roll it down into the future because we can go into debt. They can also spend the money because of banksterism gives them the incentive to. Because banksterism says, oh, you want money? And basically, our charge, Federal Reserve, is to print you money if you want, and we're happy with that because it means you got to keep paying us. You will be our debt slaves. Without the Federal Reserve, these things cannot happen. Do you understand? They can't happen. The money wouldn't be there. And then obviously without the secrecy programs, it can't happen. And then more so because of the potential amount of cash that can be spent, those dirty rat bastards who would go, why can't we get a $100 billion contract that nobody even has to know about? They wouldn't have the incentive if it wasn't a $100 billion contract. Obviously, they wouldn't have the incentive, but I'm breaking those factors down. They wouldn't have the incentive if it was also that nobody could know about, and we're connected, and now we're even more elite because we're connected to the elite contracts that the average citizen isn't to know about. But if it's controlled, even the secret budgets are much, 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 much smaller. You know, so yeah, maybe instead of a $100 billion contract, you get a $1 billion contract, which is bad because it shouldn't be secret. But it's not as bad. And then the other things, the whole culture changes because defense industries don't have proprietary information that is justified even more by, well, of course, it's proprietary. After all, it's beyond top secret. But really, and so the whole culture changes as to secrecy and deception. But then really what you need to understand is that the justification is always bullshit. It what it turns into, and I've mentioned this many times before, but it's because it's true. When you have hundreds of billions and trillions funding a secretive part of the United States, and therefore the society involved with the geographical area of the United States, and all of its offshoots where, you know, the same semi-secret society isn't justified. When I say offshoots, all these, wait a second, are we sovereign? Are we trying to protect us? Or are we just trying to profiteer through biological warfare contracts throughout the world in all the countries? So what we have is a breakaway civilization, and it's funded by us. Plain and simple. I do want to say very quickly before I close this that Trump is trying, man. I mean, give him an A for effort versus, and go look this up because I'm sure it's not being trumpeted, no pun intended. But recently, he is going, no. No more of the overexpensive drugs. Now, this has been people's frustration, everybody who's dealt with the healthcare system. What do you mean it's this much money? In different ways and forms, properly, for 30, 40 years, and it's only gotten worse. I mean, it's been covered everywhere. Like, what do you mean you just get to show it's only as effective, but then you get to name your price because it's the newer thing, and the FDA does not do any drug price and cost comparisons because it's just a new class. You go, you give whatever justification you can, even if it's only as effective as aspirin, and you just show some limited effectiveness. Nobody has to say, yeah, but you're charging $10,000 for what I believe is no more effective than this $100 thing. So no, we're not going to justify and approve based on that price. So effectiveness is not relative to cost effectiveness at all. Like, I'll say, put it this way, not because I'm not talking about, you know, just it's only about dollars. But what I am talking about is to compare how much cost and price should be justified. You should compare its effectiveness as a product versus other products that are equally as effective or close to as effective, and compare their cost. And if yours is only about as effective, but it's 10 times more or 100 times more or 1,000 times more, then there should be a limiter there. And so I forget why I went there. But, oh yes, it was just generally to go back to the idea of it's a breakaway civilization, and there are incentives to have a breakaway civilization. Oh, I was talking about Trump. I'm sorry. Let me tie that up in a bow real quick. He's dropped an executive order that says, no, you got to compare these costs to what other countries pay. Also known as really good common sense that somehow nobody could figure out before. And that's not a Republican thing. In fact, most people would say that's not an anti-Republican thing. They're profiteers. No, you have to compare what you actually charge other countries. Not that I think as countries we should be you know, pricing, but since we do, and a big other story, Tucker Carlson has talked about it, pharmacy benefit management, PBM, is basically a middleman, and then they just got to kind of get to name their prices, and then when they name their prices, they also get to go, oh, and you get a discount off of this name price. And as a name price, it then is a discount, then pharmacies are incentivized to use those drugs. Because after all, they're discounted from the named high price. So Trump is at least listening to things like that. So I got to give him his props. And now he has a Democrat, because I'm not saying all Democrats, but I'm saying whatever he does is bad. And so he properly has found a Democratic sponsor to codify this. Honestly, he doesn't need it codified. Let me say again, Schoolhouse Rock, man. When the Congress goes, do this, executive branch, almost all the activity is in the executive branch. The statutes are generic. The regulations are more specific. And the guidance is more specifically in the executive branch. The regulations are in the executive branch. Congress often does not, they say, just fill in the blanks. It's fine. We did a bunch of generic language so we can argue good and bad. I can argue for it. My colleague can argue against it. The bills are too big. And also we have fuzzy language. And so they keep going, I don't know what to do with it. But the point of the matter is, the specifics are in the executive branch. So yes, he can say, of course we should compare prices and limit them. Because PBM and everything else is executive branch regulatory and guidance based anyway. So our costing is not something that is specifically up at the congressional level. Never has been. And so, until he gets codification, which means turned into a statute, right? Based on a past law, based on congressional action, he can absolutely say, let's save money. Absolutely. And so funny to me, it's kind of like, you know, now that he wants to save money, you know, some people are against him getting to use the executive powers that are actually there. Just like a head of a agency can have a lot of power and set guidance up at the high level that then says, now promulgate rules according to this. Of course he can do that. Of course he can try to save money. Stop saying otherwise. It's stupid. Now, I'm sure the argument will be made, and just like how Biden could go to the Supreme Court and say, no, obviously I can make, be hand in hand with censorship with all of big media, even though that is government having their hands in censorship. Obviously that's constitutional, and you can find a judge that goes, that defers to, technically it's not unconstitutional, but we don't try to get in the hands of the executive branch, so we try to give great deference. And so standard review is so low that in essence they can get away with it. And our excuse is, I didn't know specifically, they didn't say ahead of time specifically who they were going to censor, just that they were going to broadly censor. And even though that seems like ass backwards compared to what constitutional principles would say, under standards of review and the way we look at these things, we have to have a specific person that is in the action, and so we couldn't tie it specifically to the people in the action, then we act like the censorship, which is unconstitutional, didn't occur. So I'm sure that even though Trump will say, obviously I can do this, I can try to save the people money, I'm executing. I'm the executive branch. If I want to save the people money, I can try to do that, just like for the last 50 years, the executive branch has been hands off and said, well, you fuckers waste as much money as you want. I can also say, no, I'm going to try to save us money. And so I'm going to take my vast powers and try to save us money. So we'll have some asshole try to take it to court and try to find the right judge so that it goes forward and at least needs an appeal. Right? We'll have that. But that doesn't mean in straight constitutionality that's not something he can do. So kudos to Trump with that and some other things and trying to get it codified and trying to work across the aisle to the less insane people on that side of the aisle. It is truly I'm going to take on Big Pharma. And if you don't think that's good, and after all, it's Trump, well, again, you're just confused. And I don't think you're ever going to get unconfused. This is the exact thing. Remember, I'm a libertarian. I admit it, I voted for Trump this time. But, you know, where if you can always tell when people are being too partisan is if you just say, what if your side did that? Would you be applauding instead of finding excuses or specifically resisting it? And in this case, if your side said executive order, pharmacy benefit manager, I don't think the executive order touches that, but it might. But the point is it gets to the bottom of, you know, it bypasses it. Said, no, you got to compare it to other countries' prices. And then we have to be, I don't remember what it is. You have to go listen, competitive or the lowest, but you have to compare. And then we can no longer be the highest in price. If you were Democrat and your side did that, you would properly applaud that. After all, Obamacare, the whole idea was it's too expensive. Hadn't gotten any less expensive, but it's only gotten more expensive. But that's another tale for another day. But of course you wanted more affordable drugs. Now, I'm against all the drugs because they're almost all toxic. I'm for emergency medicine. But the chronic medicine is mostly just giving us chronic illnesses and chronic conditions. But within the internal argument of, well, shit, however effective they are, wouldn't it be great if we paid less instead of just letting it be a profiteering area? And of course it would be. So kudos to Trump. Down with dumbs. Just remember, once you go black budget, you never go back. All right, guys, thanks for listening to Scales of Truth.